This is episode 382 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. Hey, what's going on, my friend? Alex Pardo here. Got another masterclass for you here with my friend and fellow Ascend member, Mr. Terry Royce. Terry is just an awesome dude. Him and his wife, Kristen, have been crushing the business. They did just over 100 deals last year. Terry's been at this since 2008, has done well over 500 real estate transactions. He's lost count at this point. 70% of the deals they did last year were wholesale. Did a lot of fix and flip as well. He's got a nice sizable rental portfolio. So just a true veteran of the game, somebody who knows what he's doing and always adds a tremendous amount of value. I've been wanting to have Terry on the podcast for a while. Him and I connected at a mastermind over a year ago, and then we spent a lot of time in Guatemala last year on a missions trip that was also a part mastermind. And Terry's somebody who truly lives like by his vision. You know, him and his wife have created a vision for their life, and then they've gone about the business strategically over the last several years of designing the business to support their lifestyle, which gives them the ability to spend a significant portion of the year traveling and just spending time with family. So him and I have a lot of things in common from that perspective as well. And just an awesome guy. I know you're going to kind of have an eye-opening experience with some of the things that he shares on the podcast. And hopefully it plants some seeds with you about, you know, questioning how you're going about building your business and most importantly, why you're doing it. And putting the vision first. And he also is, you know, we also kind of get into some of the hiring mistakes we've made and building a team. You know, he's got, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 people on the team right now that did over 100 deals last year. So tremendous amount of experience, and I'm excited to get him on the show. Let's hop into it. My friends, I am always excited to hop on these podcast episodes. I truly do enjoy it. And I have somebody who is an inspiration to me in many ways, somebody who I've gotten to know very well over the course of the last probably year. And now somebody who's part of our Ascend family, Mr. Terry Royce. Terry, what's up, bro?
Not much, Alex. How you doing, man?
I'm blessed, man. So, dude, this is crazy that we're recording this almost a year to the day that I want to say you and I met. So we had heard about each other. We travel in a lot of the same circles. So Terry and I were in Guatemala last year for Master Mission, and I'm not 100% sure when this particular episode is going to be released. So this may be before or after, but I'll be back in Guatemala beginning of February. So again, depending on when this is released, that may have already passed or it's upcoming. But Terry and I got to experience something very special in Guatemala. It was a half mastermind, half mission trip. And it was just great, the camaraderie and getting to know people on a different level. And Terry being one of those guys, he's got a kick-ass business. And it's based on him living his vision first and then designing a business to support that lifestyle. So before we get into that, Terry, for people that don't know who you are, I kind of want to skip how you got into real estate and all that good stuff, because I feel like you shared that before, but what does a business look like today? And then we can start to kind of drill down and ask you some specific questions.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex, for the intro. And yeah, I guess it has been about a year. So today we have basically a full circle or full service business, more or less, my side of the business involves more of the dispositions and acquisition side. And I have a partner in my primary business who kind of handles the construction side. And the last couple of years, we've done around 90 to 110 deals a year. Amazing. And about 70 to 80% of that has been wholesales. And then the other, the 20 to 30% of it has been a mix of rehabs and flips. And over the last year, we've transitioned more into, rehabs, flips, and rentals. And over the last year, we've kind of transitioned more into buy and holds and the rentals for a multitude of reasons, including with tax advantages and all that. Uh-huh. But as far as our team, like I said, I kind of handle that half and my partner handles the other half. And then we have a sales guy, we have an office manager, we have a project manager, and we have a team of 3 to 4 people that work out in the field that kind of inspect our properties and, you know, give us back the info on it so that we can really make the decisions we need to without having to be out in the field. And you're saying that I'm a lifestyle guy. And for a long time, my business wasn't like that. And it was, you know, I was like most entrepreneurs where I thought I had to wear all the hats and do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Probably out of a mix of stubbornness and pride, like I think a lot of investors do.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Most of investors are about grinding and out grinding instead of building, you know, they're not about growth. They're about grinding.
Mm. So. Repeat that again. You said they're not about grit. They're about grinding.
I said they're not about growth. They're about grinding.
Got it.
They can grow through just grinding. Like they can outgrind the system.
So, dude, at what point did you kind of have a turning point, whether it was mentally, in your life, in your business? At what point did you kind of transition from wearing all the hats, having that grind mentality, which I think is like completely over-glorified in today's social media age with a lot of the influencers? And don't get me wrong, I definitely think there's a time and place to grind and roll up your sleeves. So I'm not suggesting hard work isn't important, but I truly believe that life doesn't have to be, and your business doesn't have to be all about grinding and sacrificing life and family and health and all that in the pursuit of money and a bigger business. I think that's my point. But I'm curious for you, Terry, did you get to a point, was there a turning point for you, or did a light bulb go off? Was it like just banging your head against the wall? And like, where was it that you decided, hey man, I have to build a real business here, not one that involves me wearing all these hats. I'm curious if something happened that kind of got you thinking different and heading in a different direction.
Well, I'd like to say there were a lot of lessons early on, even before I got into real estate. And again, I would work like 60, 80, 90 hours a week when I worked in the restaurant business. And I would miss all these life events. This is before I had kids and all that. And at the time it was just like, oh, that's just how it is. If you want it, you gotta grind it. But as far as the real estate side, you know, I was being stubborn and still not learning all these lessons from the previous years. Just kind of my partner had pushed me. He's like, look, man, we can't do this. I'm not going to do it. So we just kind of started hiring quick. And we didn't always make the best hires, the strongest hires. Uh-huh. But it took the weight off of my plate of doing it. And it's kind of like once you start to get your system together and get your team together,
yep,
even if it's not in everybody's, like, you know, hire slow, fire quick. I mean, I agree and disagree with some of that, but even if you have a little bit of a B team together, if you want to call it that, it's better than you doing it all. And you start to, it's kind of like drugs where you become addicted to outsourcing it,
yeah,
and getting it off your plate. And what it's just it starts to get your, you know, it starts to make you realize how much of your time all the little stuff takes up. And that's something I try to get my team to do, especially my sales guy, who's kind of my right-hand man, is to like, hey, should you be leaving the office to do this, or should you get one of our team members to do this? Because he's kind of like, hey, I'll go be the one to go do it. And just try to get my team members to realize that just because they're a team member in an organization doesn't mean that they have to do they need to think the same way a little bit and say, hey, where does this fall in the chain? Can we get our team to do it, our field guys, or so forth?
And what I'm hearing between the lines that I'm hoping people are catching is that you're kind of going through an 80-20 analysis and you're asking, hey, what's the highest and best use of my time? But you're not stopping there. You know, you're challenging your team members to ask themselves that question too. What's the highest and best use of my time? You kind of mentioned something and it's kind of fresh in my mind. So I want to ask you your thoughts on this because, you know, I just had Aaron in town from Canada and he's got an awesome business. We just finished doing a deep dive one-on-one day. And, you know, he's in the process where he's building his team. He's got a relatively small team of 4 or 5 people, but he doesn't he's building out his systems. He's not fully there and has that dialed in. What's your thought process? Because I've had people ask me this question as well. Does the right team member come first and then you leverage them to build out the system? Or do you feel like you need to have the system and the processes dialed in before you even start to look to hire?
I think that if you're, especially if you're a one man show, or if your plate is full, you just need to find people that kind of have some strong, their strong suits are in the areas you're trying to get off. Mm-hmm. And I think you can have them help you build it too. And they might even tailor it or have some good ideas for, hey, let's look at this way or that way. And if they don't work out, you know, you will have gotten further down the road of streamlining and systematizing and creating processes, yeah, and even going through the hiring and firing process. Then if you just say, hey, I need to get the system worked out, then I'm going to find somebody. In my opinion, you've just pushed it further down the road. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that might disagree with me, but just having those people in place so where you can go and travel, or if you got, like, I was just at another mastermind this past week and got back yesterday, and I touch base with my team once a day. Yeah. It probably wasn't getting as done as well as if I'm in town, but you're pushing the progress forward.
Yeah.
And getting people on your team. And I find a lot of one man show lone wolf entrepreneurs are hesitant to hire, because that is the big hurdle to get over, is the hiring. And to relinquish, most entrepreneurs are control freaks. I mean, if I haven't found one that isn't, maybe I just don't listen well enough.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
So relinquishing that control is part of the process, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, early on for me, Terry, I kind of finally came to the realization that, first of all, as entrepreneurs, I think the other thing, aside from being control freaks, many of us, is that sometimes, and I don't have this mentality anymore, now I have the opposite mentality, but early on, I used to think nobody can do it as good as I can, right? Or nobody's going to care as much as me. And that might be true in some instances, but I've quickly realized that there's people out there that are better suited to do certain tasks than I am. You know, don't be so naive to think you're the only one that can do something and nobody can do it as good as you. I think one of the biggest hiring mistakes I've made, and I've made it more than once, is hiring fast and firing slow. And you kind of said that you kind of are on the fence. Talk to me a little bit about some of the biggest hiring mistakes you've made, because as you start to build out a team, as you start to grow, going back to Jim Collins, you know, good to great, getting the right people, right bus, right seat, I think is critical to any business, real estate included, right? So what have been some of the lessons learned throughout the years as far as hiring the right people, hiring the wrong people, that you can kind of share with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big, you know, I kind of alluded to, hey, just try to get the process going. And I think when you do get that going, you do need to make, I think some of the biggest things were setting the precedent and kind of I think as entrepreneurs, we move quick. So if you get that person in the seat, we're like, we expect people to operate at the same level and treat things the same way that we would. And there's this difference of an expectation and an agreement. And the people that work under you are just, they aren't ever going to have the same standards as you typically for your deals and how they treat everybody, but like trying to get them at a level that's acceptable and just setting those expectations with them. And I think I hand stuff off to my guys all the time and I'm like, what'd you do here? And they're like, well, that, you know, they did it to what their standard is. Yeah, and you just have to, a little bit of coaching, a little bit of setting it for them and guiding. And it's, I can't say I've always been the best coach to my employees, but I'm always trying to get better at that because it's tough.
Yeah. You used the words raise the standard, and that really resonated with me because that's something I'm constantly like really trying to tattoo in my team members' brains is how do we continue to raise the standard? How do we completely avoid mediocrity? And it's just, I think it really gets tied in my opinion, to the culture, you know, that you've established within your business, not just you, but anyone, whether you realize it or not, there's a culture. And so at least for me, Terry, and man, I've made tons of mistakes when it comes to hiring and leading and managing a team and all that, but I'm really trying to impart in them, hey, how do we raise the standard here? And then I also tell them to hold me accountable. You know, I recently had somebody shoot me an email and they're like, you know, I can't get my team. How do I hold my team accountable? And my reply to them was hire people that hold themselves accountable. you know, hire people that naturally just have that mindset that they want to raise their own standard, and they're going to be held accountable, because this is not a daycare, right? We're not holding people's hands. And if that's the case, it's going to slow you down and you're going to have to take a lot of steps back. So, man, we can talk forever and ever about hiring mistakes and all that. Talk to me about transitioning from you wearing all the hats in the business, you know, marketing, acquisitions, dispositions, TC, all that kind of stuff, to now managing a team. Because people think managing a team is like, you know, you go on vacation for a year, you come back and your business is rocking. Not necessarily the case, right? So talk to me about what it takes to manage a team and lead them the right way.
I think I have a lot of space to grow in that arena.
As do I. We all do it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, I think it really just comes down to setting like the standards, and when things aren't met, like instead of, you know, I try not to like just come down on them, but try to guide them and correct them and coach them. And, you know, most good employees, I feel like, will look to you for that, and like people that receive the feedback positively rather than push and look at it all negatively. That's something I've been trying to, it sounds really stupid verbalizing it, but trying to be better at that. Because somebody messes up, I look at it as like, this is where I would have done that, the level up that I would have done this task or the importance of it, but there's over here. And just that dichotomy of that is, they are employees, and I don't say that negatively, but they're in a different mindset than the business owner. And that I think is really tough for a lot of us to ever grasp, because we look at everybody as like, well, they all think the same way I do and will operate the same way. And that's just not the case. And that's still to this day very hard for me to wrap my head around, but I try to take a step back and just digest how I think, you know, where they're coming from and understand their point of view.
You know, the analogy that the thought that comes to mind, and the analogy I can kind of give people is, you and I spoke about this at the last Ascend retreat, but my wife and I were getting ready to go to Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny, which has already passed. That was back in December. And, you know, Tony was up there and he was talking about, it was relationship day, and he was talking about how, you know, and he kind of polled the men in the audience, 5,000 people. So let's just assume 2,500 men. And he was like, men, what happens when your significant other, your girlfriend, your wife walks in the door and she's distraught and she had a rough day and she starts telling you about her problems? Like, what's the first thing that men want to do? And pretty much, you know, overwhelmingly, everyone was like, we want to solve it. We want to tell them, okay, well, do this, this, this. And that's like the worst thing you can do as a man, right? Like, she wants you to listen. She just wants you to shut up and listen and just be there for her. And to the reason I think of that is, to your point, your team members, your employees, whatever you call them, everybody has a different personality. You can't expect them to think and operate like you. And that's why, for me, part of our hiring process, Terry, is having them take Colby and or DISC, because I want to know what motivates these people. Like, one of my team members is very altruistic. You know what I mean? So I know that this particular person is more motivated by giving and impacting and helping and what we can do for others. There's another one on my team that's, it's all dollars and cents. You know what? So you have to know which levers to pull down, I think, to be an effective leader. You can't treat everybody the same and put everyone in the same box. You can't. It's why Phil Jackson approached Michael Jordan different than he approached BJ Armstrong back in the day, or Horace Grant, or any of these Chicago Bulls from the championship teams. You can't treat everybody the same. You know what I mean? It's why Phil Jackson treated Kobe different than he did Shaq. Different personalities, and you got to know as an effective leader, in my opinion anyways. But to your point, man, I have tons of room for growth in this particular area. But it's one of those things that I kind of want to just set the expectation that people that are growing and scaling their business think that it's just about hiring people and then like stepping off. And it's not that at all. It's a different level of work.
Yeah. And I think it's tough for a lot of the, and this may be just the way I interpret it, for the newer investors, or there's so many people putting all this stuff out on Facebook and Instagram and all this, and they make it look, you know, we joke about it from different perspectives. Oh, people that don't have anything, they see people with these flashy lives. I think it comes into the entrepreneur world too. It's like, oh, their team has it all together. They're great leaders. They're great. And I'm sure you've known enough people that you look behind the curtain a little bit and they have a lot of the same problems. So it's like discouraging for a lot of entrepreneurs, I find. Like, I'll meet people at Ria's and they'll be like, man, you guys have it all together. I'll be like, you're effing kidding yourself.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
But just take the step, believe in it. So just a slight aside, I think it's, I get a lot of people just coming up to me locally and, you know, I tell them straight up, I'm like, we have issues just like you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. I want to kind of pivot here in a minute, but I want to just highlight the fact that I appreciate the transparency and you saying that, hey, you know, even though we did 110, 120 deals last year, like, doesn't mean that you're flawless and that you guys don't have issues. Every business has challenges. So despite what you see on Facebook out there, you know, with the pictures of the checks and the Lambos and everything else, like, taking nothing away from that doesn't mean there's not challenges behind the scenes. I mean, and by the way, those are things we need to embrace. You know, going back to Tony Robbins and Date with Destiny, I think it was him that said it. He's like, could you imagine a life with no problems? Like, yeah. How boring would that be? And would any growth take place if you didn't have any problems, any challenges? So kind of embrace the suck, right, to a certain degree, and ask yourself, what are you meant to learn from that? You know, how do you get better as a leader, et cetera? So let me kind of go in a little bit of a different direction here. You've designed your business in a way that allows you, your wife, your family to travel. I know Kristen's, you know, doing a lot of charity work in Guatemala. And, you know, you guys just do quite a bit of traveling. You know, I think you just bought, is it a vacation home or are you ultimately going to move there?
No, we have about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we bought a vacation home. And that was part of kind of our vision was this big place at the beach that we could have people to.
Right. Right. I love it. Which, by the way, man, my invite must have got lost in the mail, dude. But at some point, I want to check this place out, dude.
You live in Miami. You don't want to come up north. Trust me.
I've seen your place, man. I wouldn't mind checking it out. But talk to me about the importance of having a vision. And we can go as deep or as shallow as you want. But like, I see so many people out there just pursuing the dollar, right? And just pursuing things that, you know, nothing wrong with it. Right. But, you see other areas of their life just kind of falling apart or just, you know, you look at the wheel of life, right? You and I have both gone through that exercise and, you know, they place so much emphasis in one part of that wheel or that pie chart and the other parts are just lacking and there's a lack of joy, happiness, fulfillment. So talk to me about the importance of kind of starting with the vision for the life and then working to have the business kind of be in alignment with what you want your life to look like ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, it's something, to people, you know, on the outside in, it kind of sounds, hokey. You know, I've talked to people and that I, you know, I was just at your guys' retreat, the Ascend retreat in, I think it was November. And, you know, we have another one coming up here and people are like, oh, what do you guys do? It's like, you know, we talk about business, we talk about life, we talk about the vision we create and people, you know, if they're not in the entrepreneurial world, look at you like a little, what's that? But it's something that I have plenty of work here to do too, but it's just, what do you really want? And it's funny because when you go through and when you're building your business and you're kind of figuring out in the early stages what you want, a lot of it seems simple. And as you start to get those things figured out, that's when the real work really starts to set in. And we were just talking about it at the mastermind I was just at. One of my coaches said something. It's from the book, the Goggins book, Can't Hurt Me, which if, I don't know if you read it.
I haven't. I know who he is. I've heard him on several podcasts. The guy's an animal, but I got to read the book.
That's amazing. Get the audio book. But anyway, his short story was he was fat, out of shape, like, and came into a Navy SEAL. He said one of his driving forces, I believe, was that he was afraid he would get to the pearly gates, quote unquote, and they'd flip open his folder and say, well, you were a 300-pound fat ass that didn't do anything. Let's go through all the things you could have been. Mm. And, you know, that was what drove him, was like, how can you not want anything but greatness? And that could be with your family, friends, charity, business,
yeah, multiple
things. But he said that was what drove him to become, you know, when he was like, oh, this is what you are. He's like, you could have been the pull-up champion of the world, a Navy SEAL, tried out for the special forces. And so what I'm getting at is when you have this vision, giving yourself the space to really dig in, like, what do you really want? And I don't think many people, I mean, I'm starting to kind of put that thought into it. Like, what are we capable of, not just in creating this big business and all that, but what are we capable of, even in our own families? And that was a big thing for me when I started to go through the, you know, these masterminds, one of which I'm a part of, your guys with the Ascend group, is, you know, work on, as a male, I think a lot of us want to go out and be the hunters, and that's what we do. We go out, hunt, kill, bring back for our family in our business sense.
Yeah.
And 3 years ago, you know, I was doing that, but it was coming at a cost of not being home with the kids and Kristen. And it was taking all that back and writing out, hey, here's my vision, is to be home and present at 4:30 and making sure my phone is off, you know, at 4:30 and doing all that, which sounds really silly, but like putting all the little things in place has allowed us, me and my wife, to become closer than we've ever been. Yeah. And just to develop that relationship there and to continue to refine my business so that it fits that vision. That's what I talked to you briefly about earlier, was our direct to seller side. I think we're kind of shutting that down just because from a dollars and cents standpoint and a time commitment standpoint, it doesn't make sense right now for what we want. And I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but
No, this is really good. I think people need to hear this. My opinion is that a lot of people don't do the inner work because, to your point, I think you kind of touched on this briefly. It's hard. It's hard to, you know, you ask 10 people, hey, what do you really want out of life? And my bet would be you're going to get 7 or 8 of them kind of give you a blank stare, deer in the headlights. It's hard. You know, more people spend more time, who was it that said it? I don't want to take credit, planning a vacation than they do planning their life. You know, I think we're in the minority in that, like, we value, like, we really ask ourselves those tough questions. And I think a lot of people listening to this podcast is, they're listening to this because they want a better life. They want a better business. And the way you have a better life is not by focusing on business, is by asking yourself, how do I have a better life? Getting really, really clear on what you want, not what you see others have or what you perceive you might want, but really asking yourself those deep questions and kind of going through that process. And it's not something that I have found is you discover or figure out overnight. Terry, I don't know if you remember this. You probably do, but close to a year ago, I got real kind of open with a group in Guatemala. And I was like, man, I feel like God's been tapping me on the shoulder for a while now. I feel like I'm meant to do something bigger and better with my life. And I know it involves helping people. I just don't know what that looks like. You poured into me that day, Steven Johnson, Steve Cavanaugh, Eric Stark, like several people, right? And that, I think that trip planted the seed. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, Ascend was born. And, you know, I've taken just a bigger role with the podcast, and contribution is a big part of that. So, you know, first of all, thank you, you know, for your thoughts and for your help during that time. But I think it just speaks to the power of surrounding yourself with the right kinds of people and asking yourself those thought-provoking questions and then getting to work and doing that inner work versus letting, you know, the day-to-day course of life to take you. You know, my wife and I got back from Date with Destiny, and within like a week, we kind of found ourselves back in the same routine, and we had to kind of check ourselves like, hey, we're starting to go back down this path. Let's look at our habits. Let's look at our patterns, and let's work on some of the things we committed to improve. Right. So anyway, man,
you said something there that it was just at the mastermind retreat I was just at this past week. You know, a lot of people don't give themselves the space to do the inner work because it's hard.
Yeah.
Something I kind of talked out during when I was going through our stuff was that I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs, this is me specifically, maybe it's not, but I could study for an hour and get at least a B on the test. I could, you know, kind of BS my way through the wholesale stuff when I first got started. And I feel like I can do half the work and still get a B or an A.
Yeah.
Or some people have to double down. And what I realized was I've done that, or feel like I've done that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I got called out that I'm being too hard on myself, but you can't BS your way through the inner work.
It's a good point.
And that is what most people don't realize. And that's why most people, I think, don't do it. And the second part that you just said, you know, you were at the Master Mission and Eric and Steven Johnson, all of us, you surround yourself with the right people. That's the other thing I think a lot of people don't do, is surround, like, they want to lift all the weight on their shoulders because I'm strong enough. And if I go to somebody or a group or surround myself with other business owners and get vulnerable, then, then I'm weak. And that's, I think, I don't know if you agree with that or disagree with that, but I think that's what a lot of business owners do. And that's, again, why, you know, I'm a part of some other masterminds as well as your guys' Ascend Mastermind, is because I want to surround myself up, because I don't want to lift all the weight. I want to get poured into in that manner. So,
I first of all, I agree with you. Second of all, I think it's the opposite. I think I look at vulnerability when people are vulnerable, man, that's a, I have so much more respect and admiration for them, because it's not easy to take the mask off and show people that, you know, you're not perfect and nobody is. And I think that's, we need more of that and less of what we're currently seeing, generally speaking. And I'm sure you can co-sign on that. So, brother, this has been a pleasure, man. It's been great really kind of getting to know you and work with you over the course of the last year. You and Kristen are awesome, and love to see what you guys are doing. And also on the charity side with Kristen leading that in Guatemala, I just think is so cool. How do people reach out to you? You know, where do you, you know, let people know where you guys do deals, where you do business? Maybe there's some joint venture opportunities, or if anybody just wants to kind of connect with you. I know that, you know, you have a group as well. And so how do people reach out to you and just kind of find out more about what you have going on?
Yeah, I mean, they if they're local in the, we operate all in the Baltimore, greater Baltimore area, they can go to our website at mddiscounthouses.com for our properties. If anybody wants to reach out to me directly, they can shoot me an email, just troyce, like Rolls Royce, the number one at gmail.com. And, you know, I'm just always happy to talk to people or reach out and connect.
Yep, yep. And I know you have a very active Facebook group as well, right?
Yeah, we have it's about, I think, 4,500, 5,000 people right now. It's just the Baltimore Area Real Estate Investors Club. Just, cool. You know, just try to get people to connect.
Yep. Well, love what you're doing, brother. Again, appreciate the time. And my friends, you know, I'm not going to stop saying this. Take one thing that you heard here and just and get to work on that as quickly as possible. Maybe don't try to implement everything, but just take one thing that maybe struck a bell with you or really resonated, and take action. Speed of implementation is that's how you can kind of thank me for you know, for putting on this show, is go out there, improve your lives, improve your businesses, and I'd love to hear about it. So feel free to connect with Terry or reach out to me and let me know if there's anything I can do for you. So Terry, my man, I will see you at this point probably in a couple weeks, you know, at the time this goes live. So looking forward to hanging with you and Kristen.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, my friend. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.